All right, let us go to Lawrence Knorr. He joins us. The name of the book is Gettysburg Eddie, The Story of Eddie Plank. Lawrence, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on, Marty. It's a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, we're glad to have you. You know, the inspiration, of course, the great Eddie Plank was one of the Hall of Fame left-handers, part of the, since we have the Phillies here today, there was a team once called the Philadelphia A's, and certainly Eddie Plank was a big part of it. Why did you become interested in the Eddie Plank story?
Well, I kind of came about it in a roundabout way. I was writing a book about Carl Scheib, the pitcher for the A's, who was the youngest player in American League history. And when researching him, came across the old Philadelphia A's, became more interested in them, and discovered that nobody had ever written a biography about Eddie Plank, the Hall of Famer. And I was like, why? The guy was he went over 300 games. He's the winningest pitcher in Philadelphia history. And I believe also the winningest pitcher in the A's franchise history. So somebody had to do it.
And born in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And of course, when we talk about players who played, you know, in the early part of the 1900s, you know, the Civil War is sort of in the background. And, you know, it seems like it's ancient history, but it's not that many years ago. And he grew up on a farm. He was a late bloomer. And he was a local star in Gettysburg. And, of course, I always think of the Gettysburg Address and things like that. So how did Eddie fit into the terrain of Gettysburg?
You know, what's interesting about it is how he was sort of forgotten by just about everybody, except a few of the townspeople. There is a restaurant to this day that is named Gettysburg Eddie, and you can go in there and see lots of the old photos. But when he was alive, he was very much a part of the town, was the most famous citizen, was well-loved, well-liked. And he never forgot his small-town roots. It's just, it seemed like after the family, a few years after he was gone, the family was very quiet about his past, and he just didn't have the notoriety anymore.
Tell us a little bit about the career that he had, because back then in the dead ball era, you look at these numbers, and sometimes they're so inflated, and they're huge. And he had a long career, 17 years from 1901 up until 1917. Can you talk about maybe some of the myths of that era, or maybe some of the stories about Eddie Plank, something unique to maybe him as a pitcher in his career?
Yeah, well, one thing, he was well-known for his crossfire delivery. And I know Jake Arrieta is pitching for my Phillies today. And Jake has what's called a crossfire delivery. I think it's something similar to what how Eddie threw, but of course Eddie was a left-hander. So when you're watching Jake today, just do the mirror image of that, and you can imagine Eddie Plank pitching.
Very good.
And
go ahead.
He came up in 1901 when Connie Mack was just starting the A's, so he came out of Gettysburg College a couple months into the season, and he was with the A's all the way through 1914. He faced the Giants, so it's good we're talking about the Giants today. I know you've got a Giants-Phillies game today, and the Giants faced the A's several times in the World Series, and Eddie faced off against Christy Mathewson a number of times. 1913, for Eddie, was the best, the fifth game of the World Series in 1913. He beat Mathewson. And then in New York, in the stadium, I guess it was the Polo Grounds, Eddie Plank is carried off the field by the fans, even though he's the visiting player.
Ah, wow.
So he was really lauded at that point. What I'll say about Eddie's career, he was rarely number one in wins, rarely number one in ERA. He didn't lead in statistical categories, but he was consistent and he was a winner. And in the end, when you look back, you know, Ty Cobb says he was the best left-handed pitcher he ever faced.
Wow.
So.
Well, that's good accolades for him.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, and Adam and I have talked about this on the show before. We've had other authors on. When we look at that era of baseball, the world had changed. All of a sudden, there were college kids coming into the game. It wasn't the rough and tumble, you know, fighting, cursing, and trickery that we had in the late part of the 1890s and the early part of the 1900s. College boys became part of baseball, and he was one of them.
Yeah, he definitely was, and I hear you about behavior. Eddie was known to be a gentleman. He was very much somewhat of an introvert, very polite, didn't drink or smoke. You know, when the other ball players were out carousing, he didn't take part. And he was also a Mason. And if you were a friend of Eddie's, you were a friend for life. So I was really touched by how a lot of the guys he played ball with in his youth were his pallbearers when he was laid to rest much later on.
Lawrence Knorr is the author. The book is Gettysburg Eddie. Where do you get it, Lawrence? Where's the best place to look for it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the publisher, Sunbury Press. It's pretty much wherever books are sold.
All right. We have the book tree up in Montclair. I'll mention it to David up there. Was there anything weird about Eddie Plank? They say there were myths about him that you dispel some of them in the book. Like what?
Well, for instance, he never faced Matheson in college. There's this talk that, I guess it was in the press during their World Series days in the teens, that they must have faced each other in college. I went back and checked, and Matheson, he was signed a professional contract the year before Eddie showed up at Gettysburg College, so it never happened.
How's the restaurant?
The restaurant is very good. If you're ever in the Gettysburg area and you're looking for a sort of sports bar, pub food, it's a great place to go.
Does it have memorabilia of Eddie in there?
It has a lot of old photographs. No bats and balls, and that's all at the Hall of Fame.
All right. I was encouraging Andy Baggerly to stop there. I think he went through Gettysburg pretty quickly. Hey, great. I'm glad you took this project on. It's another one of those names. It's a Hall of Fame name that could get lost in the shuffle. But he certainly was one of the great left-handers and a gentleman, and hooked up with the old New York Giants a lot. And John McGraw must have been just livid. That must have been screaming at him to try to get him off his game. So interesting the way that turned out. Lawrence, I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
What
go
do you think
Phils.
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think? You want to tell us what you think of Arrieta and the Phils?
Oh, I love that we got Arrieta. I think Nola could be a Cy Young candidate. A little disappointed that we left our bats in Los Angeles. And I'm hoping you see the real Phillies today.
All right. Well, that's we'll see what happens. They seem to strike out a lot, I will tell you that.
Yeah, they are missing a lot of balls.
Yeah. All right. Hey, appreciate having you on, and you're welcome anytime. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Lawrence Knorr, K-N-O-R-R. Always interesting to hear part of where baseball came from.
I just like talking about it. I mean, every once in a while you go back and I'll watch the first inning or two of the Ken Burns baseball documentary, and you get notes and nuggets of players like that. I mean, this is a Hall of Famer, a guy with 320 career wins, and you just sort of forget about him because he played before 1920.
Yeah, college boy out of Gettysburg.
Was that a rare thing? You just didn't get college boys?
Oh, yeah, there were very few. I mean, these were guys from the farms and from rural areas and all that. And, you know, the country was changing then, and people then were going to college. Young people were being protected, and the child labor laws.
Right.
So if you were a kid, they just didn't throw you in a factory. You know, they let you play in the summertime and enjoy things and learn how to play baseball and then get an education.
It's the old Mickey Mantle story. He would have gone back and worked the coal mines if he didn't get it done playing ball.
Well, all of them.
Yeah.
Everything out of Pittsburgh and the Pennsylvania area as well. Good knowledge. Very good.
Thank you, Marty.